Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back for the second to last time recapping an episode of Survivor 44. Who would have thought? Episode 12.
Of the season.
That's true. Yeah, we will be back. We're not dead yet. You can't kill us yet.
We almost died, and now we did. Well, now we're alive.
But now we're alive. Unlike the kiss of death that I gave Jamie, after hating on her all season and just putting her in the last spot of my power rings, I moved her up to 4 this week to feel really to make her feel good about herself. And she went home, and I quote, because she's a threat from Jam Jam. So I just want to real quick, Alexa, before I let you take over, I just really want to obnoxiously, so everybody cover your ears, clap for the editors on that one. The threat of Jamie. Thank you, editors, for totally playing that up and letting us see the logic. When was Jamie a threat, Alexa, based on this edit?
Based on exit press, I believe that she was a threat. Based on what Jam Jam said, I do kind of believe that. I think it's, especially for this to be, especially for this to be the episode leading into the finale, but I honestly feel like if you actually sit down and think about who the person is who's voted out right before the finale, it's not always a big splashy to do. And especially because, and I don't fault this, like, this episode was supposed to make us believe that Carolyn was going home. It had music. I really thought they were overplaying it until the music came. And I was like, oh my God, this, she's about to go home. That also makes it like, oh, okay, it was Jamie. I'm glad she went out with a smile. I'm glad she went out thinking she actually had a real idol. But I don't, Jam Jam calling her a threat was, felt like we were being laughed at.
Yeah, it did. And it's, that's, see, my frustration with this isn't even that Jamie was called a threat, because like you said, exit press, whatever, she could have been a threat. I don't know. That's fine. But for the editors to clown her, as the kids say, they clowned her all season. She was a joke based on the edit, right? In terms of nobody believes her about the lie. Every confessional she had was about having the idol. This is probably one of the most positive people they've had play Survivor in the last like 20 years. Okay. Like I'm going pretty much since the beginning of the show, probably one of the most positive people they've ever played. And they elected to trash her the entire season and then send her home in such an anticlimactic way. And my problem with this is, from a storytelling standpoint, it makes zero sense, because all we heard tonight was what a threat Carolyn was. As an audience, we have watched all season Carolyn be a threat. So for Jamie to go home over Carolyn because she's a threat based on what we've watched makes no sense and makes Jam Jam seem illogical. Even if Jam Jam goes on to win this season, this seems illogical because of what we are being told based on the edit. You can go and look on Twitter and hear from people and read exit press and do all that. But based on what we saw in 42 minutes, it looks illogical.
I mean, it does, but this happens to everybody. Like, this was the Heather thing. Like, this happens every – it was like Dez in Ghost Island. Like, there are some people who we are just told are threats because like, they, again, they probably are threats, but that's just, like, not good storytelling continuity. I know I'm kind of pulling away from the conversation here, but I have a lot to say about the – emotional versus strategic player. I feel like what Carolyn said there really, I hope and think, will very much change the way that people play. But I want to call out that Jam Jam specifically is now verbalizing why he's voting people out. And he said that to Jamie, who he just put on the jury. I'm curious if that's going to come up if/when he gets to the final tribal council and how that's going to be perceived.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked what Carolyn said here about that. And I almost feel like, and this isn't a complaint, but I almost feel like because we've heard Carolyn rationalizing herself so much, it has taken some of like the rationalizing away from other players. Like Carolyn's summation of her game tonight at Tribal Council was perfect. There are strategic players, there's emotional players. I'm both.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. This is somebody who knows what she's doing. This whole episode, we've heard what a great player she is. And I think she's really come together with that. I do wonder what's going to happen now with Jam Jam, though, as he's, like you said, sending people over to the jury and saying, well, this is why I need to get rid of you, Jamie. Are people buying that as he's sending them over to the jury? Or are they going to see it as him just trying to fluff people up as they get sent over to the jury?
I mean, I think it's worked, and it's something that he's told us a few times. And I, you know, you hear that at Final Tribal, and that's a like kind of a showstopper kind of statement. And I think he has enough respect from people where he will say that and people will not take that poorly. I think that is something that's very easy to come off as arrogant and obnoxious, but because it's coming from him, I don't think it's going to come off like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily, I love it. I think it works for him. I don't love him telling someone actively in the game because it's sort of like, hey, this is going to be my big statement if I make it to the final tribal. But I do, you know, I think about the argument we had about when Gabler and Ellie fought and we were talking about, is that emotional versus strategic? Mm-hmm. And I candidly, you know, hearing Jam Jam say, whenever someone votes for me, I get rid of them. Mm-hmm. That is straight up emotional. So I think it's really good. And the word emotional is always spoken about with a negative connotation in Survivor. And I hope and appreciate that it doesn't have to be anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think sometimes people take emotional and they use that as like a euphemism for crazy or weirdo or something like that. So they call it emotional or just cutthroat, you know, because they say, oh, you're playing emotional. I think Carolyn's playing a pretty cutthroat game. And I think Carolyn, if she really felt that Jam Jam was going to beat her at the end, might have been able to take him out tonight. Jam Jam, I'm surprised. And maybe Jam Jam's just confident that he considered the final three and beat Carolyn no matter what. He thinks he has a more compelling argument. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised that Jam Jam's not more cutthroat than what he did tonight. Because Jamie, I don't really buy either way that she was the right move tonight. Maybe from a perspective of we need to keep our Tika 3 strong. But Carolyn, based on what she did last week and the way that the people around you are talking about her, is a threat. And underestimated, it's why people root for underdogs in the Super Bowl instead of the team that's been there five times. Mm-hmm. It's because they're underestimated and it makes them easy to root for. It's human nature. If I'm sitting next to Carolyn at the end, I'm a little scared if she starts talking the way she was tonight.
Absolutely. And I think you see the players realizing that. And Carson, it was interesting because it was sort of a tale of two stories with Carson saying, I don't want Carolyn gone, but I'm going to tell everyone that. And I couldn't, for the first half, I couldn't tell if Jam Jam was in on that or not. And then you come to find out that he's actually like, I got to get rid of her. And I think he actually heavily weighed that. I think, you know, Carolyn says, I can't lose Carson just yet. So I think, crazily enough, with six people left, people are still afraid to make a gigantic move like that. And I don't necessarily blame them, because you get rid of a Tika, then all of a sudden the non-Tikas do have a majority. Mm-hmm. So as much as it is quote unquote safe gameplay, it's sort of like the Dom and Wendell thing where the three of them can't really get rid of each other now. Or now they can, but they couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't. And I think now, so I think what really happened ultimately that people aren't necessarily talking about and not really giving the knock to is I believe that Heidi made it too easy for them. I think Heidi made it so that she was willing to be the fourth. And by being willing to be the fourth, Tika doesn't have to make that decision now, because what's really the point of going against your own people when you have the fourth with you? Heidi, for some reason, Heidi gave up her game tonight. Heidi is drawn dead.
I think Heidi lost tonight. Yeah.
Second place, sure. But I thought it was funny, and the next time on, she was like, I didn't come for second, third, fourth, fifth. I'm like, then you wouldn't have voted out Jamie tonight if you didn't come for third, fourth, fifth. Sorry, you wouldn't have.
I know. And when you hear her calling up to play her idol, I was like, oh my God, Carolyn is going home and she's about to save Carolyn. Mm-hmm. I really thought that's what was going to happen. But yeah, I think this really boils down to, we have not been given information on half of the cast that remains in this final six. And I don't care how interesting Tika is, it's really frustrating to like hear that from Heidi, let you not hear anything from Heidi, have Jamie go home like this. I do, like, and this happens often and I get it, but I deeply hope with 90 minute episodes, this doesn't happen anymore. I don't care if production doesn't find half the gameplay is interesting enough, or that they're not asking to burp in each other's mouths. If I am going to be excited about the finale, which I obviously am, like I feel like I know who's going to win. It's just,
yeah. You know, I mean, tonight, I think they really gave us an idea that maybe Carolyn can play and win. Maybe she can beat Jam Jam. Maybe she can beat Carson. Like, I feel like we definitely got that a little bit tonight, but there's three people left in the game who can win. And it to me, it feels lopsided. It felt lopsided until tonight. And then tonight, all of a sudden, I was like, wait, can Carolyn actually win this game? Did Jam Jam just miss his moment? Is this the same edit that, except much larger, that Marianne and Gabler and Erica all got, where it was too late before everybody realized that they were going to lose to these people? Like, maybe it is. I don't know. But it all comes back to what you just said there, because earlier on when I was talking about Jamie's a threat, it's not so much that I hate that they're calling her that and like it's a throwaway. I hate that if Jam Jam goes on to win, he's going to win despite doing what everybody watching at home is pretty much being told wasn't the right thing to do tonight. Does that make sense? Like, it feels like Carolyn was so built up as the right move tonight and as his biggest adversary. And as Jeff always says, if you want to win this game, you got to make big moves. So if he's gonna make that big move, this was the time to make that big move. So if he goes on to beat her anyway at final three, I sit here going, what the heck happened with Jamie? And like, why did they decide to go the route they decided to go with her from day one? I don't know. And I mean, I'm talking from the perspective, not the players.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. And I just, especially with how Jamie's storyline went, and I get it, she had this fake idol, it was a whole thing, but again, for someone who is clearly extremely well liked and, like you said, probably one of the most positive people they've ever had, to make fun of her, like, fine. It's an entertainment show, it's funny for us to laugh at something that everyone's in on the joke except for her. But then it goes away and now she's like a very strategic, and that was probably always there, but it's just, it's really jarring to then switch and be like, oh, is like Jamie should win. Okay. But now we're seeing so little of her, and it's just, it just was very disjointed. And I feel like they very well could have shown Jamie as being smart while this happened at the same time.
Yes, exactly. And I think they could have shown it making more sense for Carolyn and Jam Jam to want to get rid of Jamie here rather than wanting to get rid of, I mean, I know they couldn't get rid of Lauren.
It makes the vote more satisfying.
Yeah. Where does Heidi fit in all this? Like, why are they so buddy-buddy with Heidi? Like, why are they so willing? Like, why was Heidi so willing to work with the three Tikas? I have absolutely, especially since Heidi was so willing to work with the three Tikas, but still played her idol. What did I miss?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, we last week, like how Lauren and Jamie voted was a big topic of conversation. And that was like kind of not really made clear. And I know we texted about this a little bit, but it really just seems like I'm kind of fighting something I said 2 minutes ago. It seems like Tika has everybody wrapped around their finger and it almost doesn't even matter at this, like what they think, because the three of them are just completely running this.
So now who do you think if a Tika doesn't make final three, right? Like let's say one of them loses final four, because first person voted out next week is either going to be Lauren or Heidi. 100% chance. Okay. Like I would bet my house on that either Lauren or Heidi are going home first next week. If one of the Tika three go home, I have no idea how it happened, but I am willing to bet my house that that's what's going to happen. So when we get down to final three, whether it's Heidi or Lauren, doesn't matter. Let's say they're making fire. Who are you seeing as like the fallen angel here? And I know we're gonna talk about this on Power Rankings, but like you're coming out of this episode, which one of the three Tikas do you not think is actually going to get a chance to make their argument in front of the jury? If one of them even doesn't, I mean, we could go 3-3, all three make it.
I think I can't really see a situation where all three of them win. Though I guess actually, if Jeff is listening to this, he'd be like, well, the fire making allows that. So I guess that's true. I think from an editor perspective, probably Carson, because I feel like I can't imagine Carolyn speaking the way that she has this whole season and not being able to capitalize on that at the at this final tribal council. And we talked about her idol a little bit about whether or not, like, I think it's great that she played it and yet up to a threat level, but it also made people take her more seriously, which I think would be good for her if she gets to the final tribal. Jam Jam, I feel like, has that story, like what we were talking about, of everyone who voted for me, you're all sitting there right now. Carson, I feel like from his, all the main point I know about his strategy is I want people to be loyal to me. I want people to be loyal to me. And that I think doesn't translate as easily.
Mm-hmm.
Why he doesn't get there though, I don't know.
Yeah, it would have to be fire. And like I could see Carolyn and Carson making fire against each other, right? Like Heidi wins, takes Jam Jam in kind of like a Nora Tommy way.
Yeah.
And then we get Carolyn and Carson making fire against each other and one of them wins. Like I could see that. Or I could see Jam Jam winning and taking Carolyn and making Carson go up against Heidi or Lauren. Like who knows? But
yeah,
to me, it feels like if Lauren doesn't win immunity to start off, she's gone. And then we're going to have Heidi who is going to be in fire unless she wins immunity. Right. Like, cause Lauren is clearly that fifth person. Heidi somehow got her way into the Tika three, but it's tough because with the Tika three, I feel like I know them all so well. And I felt like Jam Jam was kind of pulling away from the other two until tonight, where now I sit here and I'm left questioning, is Jam Jam actually the front runner? Is Carolyn going to out argue Jam Jam? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to get some sort of emotional final three tribal council where Carolyn's having to go head to head against Carson and doesn't know how to do it because she likes him so much? And Carson ends up pulling this thing out, because I don't think Heidi or Lauren can get the votes, but that's a very real possibility.
I think if the Tika three are the final three, it'll be one of the best final threes Survivor has ever had, because I think it'll be really interesting to see three people from the same alliance go at each other. I don't know off the top of my head how common that is. It feels really uncommon because they'll have to distinguish themselves from each other. But like you just said, it will be so emotional. Mm-hmm. Like it would be JT Steven kind of situation, which I think would make for an incredible final three.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the problem is what happens if it's just two and then you throw in a Heidi or a Lauren. Heidi and Lauren are going to get the votes from some of the people from their original tribe, right? Like I could see Lauren get votes from Jamie or from Brandon or from Kane. I could see Heidi getting votes from Danny, because I don't think Danny knows the truth about a lot. Franny and Matt. Like, I'm not saying that they're all going to vote along party lines, but I think that that could happen.
Totally.
So that to me ruins kind of that final three with the other two, because the other two, it seems like whoever wants to vote for Atika and isn't going to vote along their original tribal lines is just going to pick, they're all going to kind of pick the same one. Mm-hmm. So I do think that having all three Tikas in the final three would be the most compelling TV and maybe give us some answers. Because while the Tika three have been incredibly fun to watch and I love this alliance and I'm having fun with them and I liked the last couple episodes, I didn't like tonight's episode at all. I thought there were jumps in logic. I thought it was boring. I didn't buy that Carolyn was going to go instead of Jamie, even when they started playing the music, just because, man, what have we really been told that was saying Jamie, Lauren, and Heidi were all going to be in the finale and Carolyn wasn't? Like, I just wasn't seeing that. So I feel like Atika final three, all of them would give us the best conclusion and wrap up all the storylines well. Whereas I feel like if one of them misses, the person who doesn't get the votes at the final tribal is going to have a lot of question marks about why they didn't get the votes at the final tribal. And we're not going to have the answers to it.
Yeah. And realistically, that's probably what's going to happen. But yeah, I'm definitely excited. I feel very Ghost Island-y where I'm frustrated that it's not even, but I am excited to see which person it is who's going to win. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And so tonight we got a reward challenge. I mean, we've been talking about all this, so let's just jump into those things real quick. We got a reward challenge. It was the same one we saw last season. Carolyn couldn't find the ball, any of that stuff. But we did have
fantastic.
Who was it? Carolyn, Jam Jam, Heidi, and Lauren were all blindfolded. So props across the board right there. We had the reward. They were all excited about the sanctuary. Alexa, I know you love the sanctuary. I know it's your favorite place on planet Earth. Do you think that the sanctuary is all we have now? Like, do you think we are done with any other type of reward and the sanctuary is it for here until the end of Survivor's Run?
You know what? I truly believe the auction is coming back. Jeff has made it very clear he wants to. And I think it's come up like three times in his podcast. And I think he's like, all right, I got it. We're working on it. But I mean, between the sanctuary and them bringing gear to Final Tribal, because they knew they were going to a new beach, it's the continual like dissonance of, see, there are no surprises in Modern Survivor. Mm-hmm. People are literally like, they're going to do like a crossword puzzle. Like they all know. So I don't have a problem with the sanctuary. I think it's the symptom of a greater problem. I think it's like just unfortunate for the masseuses. Dude, who had to give them. That's honestly the real losers of tonight. I feel for that. I hope they got paid very well.
That was my next question to you, was imagine being the masseuse who after 22 days has to walk out to these people who haven't showered, have been living on the beach and like doing challenges in the rain, haven't done anything. And you just go and you're just rubbing their feet. I mean, I have like nasty feet anyway. Like my feet aren't great feet. Like I don't love.
And you live a probably fairly clean life.
I live a fairly clean life, but like as like a former runner and stuff, I still have calluses running feet and stuff. Like they're disgusting. So imagine like having to go up and be like, "What's up, Jam Jam? Am I getting the spots here?" Like, no, I'm not touching Jam Jam's foot. They should have won $1 million for that.
They are the true sole survivors. They are all three of them. They're the final three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think to me, I'm not going to get excited about it. It's not even like put Outback in the sanctuary, put Papa John's, whatever you want. That at least gives it a little something. Like, I think and ice cream. Ooh, I just think that's so now. And I know that you're excited, but
they were going crazy over sandwiches. Jeff didn't even say what kind of sandwiches. I was like, are they shit sandwiches? Like, did somebody just shit in the sandwiches? Like, they could be.
It's important to know this.
There's really bad. Like, if somebody said, do you want to get a sandwich? If I'm getting like a number 13 from Jersey Mike's, sure. If I'm going down the street and getting like a sausage and peppers from the Italian deli, yeah.
Heck yeah.
But if you're going to give me like tuna and like mayo, like I don't like that, so no, I don't want to eat that. And like, that's what cracks me up, is like they heard sandwiches and it was like, hell yeah, like this is the best thing ever. And I just think, like, even though I know they're being authentic because they are hungry and they do want to eat and all of that, as an audience, how do you not just sit there and be like, over sandwiches and a foot massage? Like, they used to get like nights on yachts and drink until they blacked out. Like,
yeah, get them drunk. For those who want, which was like, that was, think about, yeah, ketchup sandwiches, literally. Think about the difference between margarita night at the sanctuary and this one, you know, that, and again, different groups of people, but that one was very, I really enjoyed watching that.
Yeah. I also wonder, it seemed like Survivor was riding high and CBS were riding high coming out of COVID with sponsorships. And like right before COVID, like we got the Applebee's and we had some of these things that you're talking about. I wonder why they struggle with sponsors. Like, I wonder why the sponsors, they aren't getting them consistently every season, because I feel like Survivor, if 4 million eyeballs are on that in a night, not counting Paramount Plus, that's pretty good numbers in today's day and age. So why wouldn't like Applebee's throw a little money at them or something like that? Like, every time I see that, I'm like, man, I should go find the nearest Applebee's and just harm my body for the next week. But why not?
Yeah, I'm going to be really honest. I can sit here and say advertisements don't work on me. Those always work. I have never been to an Applebee's. I've never been to an Outback Steakhouse, but I am Googling my nearest one whenever that is on my TV. So I feel like I'd rather do that. I mute commercials every time commercials go on. That is like a very organic advertisement. Have they not done any since the pandemic?
I don't know. I'd have to, somebody else. Where's Andy Vogel? Andy.
Yeah, someone tell us.
Andy, with the encyclopedia of knowledge, who loves to like memorize things. Where are you to tell us this? Because that's what I want to know. Like, I feel like they started to have some sponsorships and they didn't have any this year. And that is a big factor in it, because if you're throwing together a sandwich, it's the sandwiches that they just have sitting over there at Ponderosa. Andy just popped in, so we're going to get an answer soon.
But it's the sandwiches
that they have over at Ponderosa, or eating or whatever it is. 42's Earn the Merge was Applebee's. Why is 44 not having something like that?
It might be a logistics thing. It might be the like terms of the deal, but honestly, I'm trying to think about future Alexa right now. If we had Applebee's every season, would we complain or would we like it?
No, I think
not that they care, to be clear.
I think that when it comes to a sponsor, I think there has to be consistency. You just have to be happy they have one, right? Like, you, like, it doesn't matter. Like the car challenge, I couldn't tell you what make every car was, but they had different kinds of car sponsors, right? Yeah. So I think if you had Applebee's every season, great. At least they have somebody who is sponsoring the show, that's giving more money to the show, that's allowing them to do something a little bit different. I don't know.
Yeah. And I would assume for these kind of agreements, it's like, hey, every, like, this is a 3-season long agreement.
Yeah.
Let's have it you know. So I don't know. It is interesting. I like it because I think it really owns Survivor's cheesiness. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do that, because if you play too much into it, it's like too cheesy, you know? So yeah, the sanctuary is what it is. It's so low on my priority list of complaints, if I'm going to be honest, but it's definitely
This is the reason I bring it up, Alexa, because I don't know if you realize this or not. This is the last hour long episode we are getting, at least until season 46.
Wow.
So something that I think is going to come back, because next week's the 2-hour plus the hour long reunion or whatever it's going to be, essentially just 3 hours and everybody hanging out. And then next season's all hour and a half episodes. I think we're going to get more reward challenges. I think there's going to be more emphasis on reward challenges. Is it going to get old to watch them all go over, eat a cheeseburger and say, hi, we're at the sanctuary. Ha ha ha. It's so nice to have food and we're back at, like, is that going to get old? Because they're probably going to focus on it more.
So are we going to get more reward challenges though?
I would think that they would, because there are reward challenges that have happened in the show that they don't air. And I think that they probably will put a couple more in now that they will air. I mean, it's still only 26 days. You still have to get rid of a lot of people, so they're not going to be doing a challenge every day. But I do think that there is a strong likelihood that we're going to get some more reward challenges, which will be you know.
Yeah. We need a okay.
Reward. We need yeah. a reward for the audience. Cause I always feel like the old computer games, I know you didn't play, but the old computer games for Survivor, they had like the first two and like you'd do the reward challenge and you'd win like a Snickers bar, but like your team doesn't eat the Snickers bar. Your stats don't go up. Like nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I feel with the Sanctuary stuff where it's like, they just, they're like, you want it. You say one, two, you have like 2 minutes of conversation and then we go back to camp and it's like, yeah, that happened. It's over. We don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess if they're like, we get like two or three more, that will be really repetitive if it's all just Sanctuary or it's Sanctuary. I hate when it's like, have cheeseburgers, but just in a different corner of your camp. Like that to me is the same thing. Maybe this is where they try to bring the auction back or maybe, I don't know, put them in a helicopter, like do a little more something. I don't know. I'm really curious. I think that could be a good off-season podcast. Like, what do we actually think is going to fill these extra 90 minutes? Because there isn't more time on the island. That's not changing. Mm-hmm. So I got people are looking for things to complain about, but I don't imagine we're going to see like more idols and more advantages because the time that they're out there is not changing, but I hope I'm right.
Yeah. So they need to figure out what are we actually going to do? Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see how that ultimately plays out next season. Because if it's just, we're going to the Sanctuary and we're going to get an extra 5 minutes there, I'm like, I could have done without that.
Show us more, because as somebody who likes reward challenges, give us more there, because that will either give us more character moments or more strategy. Mm-hmm. And again, I think part of the reason reward challenges are kind of boring now is because, one, people can't pick their teams, so it's not as exciting. But also, you know, they go there, they have happy times, and they're like, oh yeah, we got to strategize. But either give us more of that or more of them having fun.
Yeah. Now, we did see Jam Jam say that exact line, I think, almost the exact.
I know. It's every time I'm like, ugh.
And so when he started talking, why do you think... And obviously Jamie and Lauren ended up voting against Carson or against Carolyn. But why do you think that like this worked? Like, why do you think that when Jam Jam started being like, let's talk strategy, and he was throwing Carolyn's name out there, like, why do you think people were kind of listening to this? Why did Jamie and Lauren like kind of buy that story?
I think probably because I have no basis here, but maybe within the Tika three, Jam Jam is the one that they felt closest to, or Carson. I think because Carson had been on a tribe with them for a period of time, and I feel like everybody connects very closely with Jam Jam. Probably a little bit of that, but also you think about someone like Jam Jam. He, in our, like in my mind, has been a threat for a very long time versus someone like Carolyn, who just spiked up this past episode. So I think it's a little easier at this point to say, oh my gosh, Carolyn is someone we have to watch out for because she's on a hot streak, rather than other people who are playing a more consistent threat game.
Yeah, and if they really do feel the closest with Jam Jam from a social standpoint, I think that's where Jam Jam pulls out the win. Because like you just said right there, Carolyn, it was a spike, but Jam Jam's been consistent. And if you're consistently high, having one little blip that goes above you, if she comes back down, you're still above her. I would love that answer. That would be a nice answer to have.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But the immunity was won by Lauren. So Lauren won her second immunity challenge of the season. Heidi was not able to pull it out. She was very frustrated at the end. And real quick, this is for all the fans at home. I was watching Jeopardy prior to this, and they had Jeopardy After Dark. Well, here is Survivor After Dark. When you're dealing with a ball on a disc, it's all about touch. Sometimes you need a light touch. Sometimes you need to be firm.
Do you know
damn straight.
But someone's got to do it. No, do you know what's funny? You texted me that, and I actually thought you were – you wrote that yourself.
No,
that I didn't realize he actually
said. Yeah, that was, and then Alexa's response was even dirtier. So I'm not going to say anything out loud to any of you, but Jeff, those were Jeff's exact words.
That's like David versus Goliath balls clanging together.
Yeah.
Level. Yeah. You know what? Do you know what I miss More of that. I really hope they continue. I hope, I know Jeff like won't say it out loud, but I love that he does it. That challenge candidly was a little like boring for me. I think that's probably why I looked away and didn't hear Jeff say that. But yeah, Lauren pulled it out. Lauren's got two immunity wins now. And you saw, I think it was Danny was pretty pumped about it. I think he saw that and he was like, oh, all right. She's got some immunity wins.
Yeah, Danny was always the one who was kind of talking her up a little bit. I still don't see Lauren getting to the end, but you know what another fun fact about Lauren is other than her two immunity wins?
Oh, no.
No, this is a good one. This is actually a legit survivor fact about the remaining people on season 44.
Hit me.
Other than Bruce and Matthew, she is the only player to not receive a vote. She has not gotten a vote yet. Lauren is voted against list, however you would actually say it. Yes. So I know. And that's amazing. I think is like when I look at Lauren over on social media and she's obviously very frustrated, I think I understand it even more. Because it almost feels like Gavin in 38, where he was gonna lose, even though he didn't do anything wrong, and he didn't get voted out of the game, and he didn't get a vote, and he actually almost played a perfect game of Survivor, but he barely got edited.
Right.
Kind of where Lauren is sitting right now. I still don't think she's gonna get to the end, but she hasn't got a vote.
That's wild. Yeah, Carolyn voted for her and crossed her name out. Yeah, exactly. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Good for her, especially for someone who had people gunning for her. Like Danny was gunning for her for a while. That is a wild fact.
Yeah, she's the only one. So I just thought that was a fun thing. I mean, look, I don't want to sit here and like, I know I was hard on Jamie all season, but really I was just watching what I saw. And then I don't want to sit here and like harp on Lauren can't win. Lauren can't win. Lauren can't
win. Nice. That's her last name.
Hey, I didn't even do that. Hey,
nailed it.
Right.
Sorry.
But I want to give the credit where it's due. There's a lot of great things about Lauren that aren't being shown. And again, in those 90-minute episodes that are coming up next season, we're really going to see what the editors decide to do at that time. Are they going to show those great things about players with zero votes against them, two immunity wins, the last member of their starting tribe who has made it to Final Five?
Dang.
Or are they going to continue to do it the way that they're doing it now and show them with a broom and not really ever explain their strategy?
Yeah, that resume you just – and again, I just said the word resume. But that what you just laid out, like that is a final tribal speech right there.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. So – that's a huge bummer, but we'll see.
It really, really is. So yeah, we're coming in Final Five. Whether they made the right move or wrong move tonight, the Tika three are still alive. Not surprised at all.
I love Carolyn. She looks over and she goes, what the F?
Yeah.
She knew that whole tribal council. That clearly went exactly as it was shown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Carolyn was definitely getting worried when Jam was giving his answers to stuff, but I also think that there was a little bit of concern that Jamie might have still had the idol. Who knows?
Totally.
And you can't just come out and say, we're voting out the person who's sitting right in front of me to my left a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. That was my guess there, because I feel like Carolyn would have been a little more nervous if she actually sensed it, because we know she has a good intuition. But hearing your closest allies speak cagely like that is just not a good feeling.
Yeah, so. It's always nerve-wracking, right? Like, you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on this episode, or you want to rip through some of this other?
This is not strategy related. I think it's a really – I thumbs up to the editors for continuing to show Jam snoring. I know that was something they talked about early in the beginning, where I think his husband complains about his snoring. So that feels like something they're actually continuing to show. So I bet that stinks for Jam to watch, but I think it's very funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I think he probably enjoys it. I don't think he cares. Okay, well, I'll rip through Jamie's things then. So Jamie cried a physical tear. She got a hidden immunity idol because she did actually have a real one, right, at one point?
Yes. She did. She was given one.
Yeah. She got 5 votes, so she hit the 5 votes or less. She made the jury. She used her shot in the dark. I'm waiting to find out how many confessionals she had tonight. I'm actually looking it up right now to see if we have an answer on that yet.
She's probably not at the 40.
I think she actually might have just missed the 40. So it actually looks like Jamie's going to end up with 35. That's what it looks like her number is going to be. So she actually wasn't that far off. I would have thought she would have been lower. And Heidi's only at 25 still, so she might not even get there, even being in the finale, even if she makes the final three. Lauren's at, oh wait, I'm sorry, Heidi's at 27, I think, and then I think Lauren is at 26. So neither one of them might make it, but so yeah, Jamie doesn't hit anything. So Jamie actually didn't hit that much for people this season, after using her shot in the dark in episode number one and getting that out of the way. We already talked about who was blindfolded. So there's that. And yeah, I'll have the score updates when we podcast. We're going to podcast Monday night again. I'll have the score updates for the fantasy game and for the power rankings and the prop bet that night. So everybody will know where they stand going into finale night. You guys won't know who the winners are until Thursday night, though, because Alexa and I aren't going to podcast till Thursday night next week for the actual show. So, but I'll have all the information so that at least you know where you stand going into that. It's hard to keep up with during the season when I have everything else going on. So I'm just happy to be here. What do I think about Tatum now? I still think Tatum's a bum. I don't give a shit.
Are you kidding me?
No, here's my thing. I keep saying it. He went for 51 after having a great end of game six, which like forgives him for like everything bad he did before that. And like, I get what he did was amazing, but him playing so bad the whole series before that is why there was a game six and game seven for him to be good anyway.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I think it also, I'm like, Philly was a high school basketball team in game seven. That was just a complete. And let me tell you, our good friend Wendell was not too happy with some of the texts we were sending him.
I can't wait to see James, because James is a huge 76ers fan too. So when
yeah. I think there's nothing to say.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, I think let's see how he does in this series. I think I'm okay with it, but we'll see.
Yeah. I'd
rather have him than not, but it sounds like you don't agree with that.
Well, whether it's sports or Survivor or anything, when you make a mess and then you do a really good job of cleaning up that mess, I don't think you should necessarily be praised for cleaning up the mess. You shouldn't have made the mess in the first place. That's how
Does anybody have eyes on Phil's wife right now?
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, my house is spot. We just had windows installed and she was Swiffering until like 1 a.m. last night. And now she's sick. Shocking, right? I was like, go to bed and do it in the morning. And she insisted doing it last night. Now she's sick. So, but yeah, I just don't think so. And you made the mess. Like, that doesn't make it more impressive.
I really appreciate that take, because I totally disagree with that. And I like that. We need to disagree more.
Yeah. But Final Five is coming up. I'm going to do my after show tomorrow morning, as I generally do. And I'll probably do one after the finale. I just don't know when I'm going to do it after the finale, because it's going to be a long night for Alexa and Phil. And if you're going to be in New York, you better say hi.
Come say hey. Because you know what we look like, and we pretty much have no idea what any of you look like.
Isn't that a terrifying thought?
Yeah, it's not great. But give us a little grace if you say your name and we don't recognize it. That makes it sound significantly cooler than
I'm going to remember everybody. It's always Alexa who doesn't remember anybody. That's the problem. Yeah.
Phil's like, what dollar number patron are they?
Yeah. If you're a $20 patron, I'll talk to you all night.
I'll get you a drink.
$5 patron, I'm bored. I don't know.
We are going to, we've got a big week. We are talking to Owen Knight. He is going to be closing out our power rankings, closing out season 43. We just had like a month plus Wendell of season 43, merge people. So we're really, really excited to talk to Owen, another person we've been wanting to chat with since their finale. That's going to be 9:15 PM on Monday. So a little late. But we're going to keep the late nights going, because then Tuesday night, we're going to be at this allegedly now karaoke night, which is a whole other beast. And then Wednesday, we will be at the finale party. So hit us up for whichever you're going to be attending. We're excited to meet y'all. Tune in on Monday.
Yeah, Wednesday was Wednesday is sold out, I saw from Wendell's post.
Wednesday is very sold out.
Tuesday, there's still tickets. So if you still want to meet people, Tuesday is still available and we'll be there. And you get to see that I am just as tall as you expect in real life. That would be exciting. And then Thursday night, we'll do our podcast. So really next week, Alexa, we're going to get all of our Survivor out of our system, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be every night is going to be based around Survivor, which I know just made you have a brief panic attack, because I certainly had one. And then after that, we don't have to talk about it again till August. And the Survivor 45 cast has already been announced on Inside Survivor, or most of it. And you better damn well believe we're not talking about it till August. So
you bet your butt we're not talking about it. Yeah. Wow. Four straight nights of Survivor next week. That's a lot. For those of you who are concerned that we have lies outside of Survivor, don't you worry. We don't.
Not next week. We don't. Absolutely not next week. So thank you all, though, for listening throughout the entire season. We have one episode left, and in case we're brutally hungover and don't want to talk very long next week after, when we do our recap, just again, thank you. We know we're not always the most positive. I do like when I say positive things and people say I'm being negative. Like, there's plenty of negative to call me negative, but really enjoy that we keep doing this and everybody keeps listening and you guys keep on being patrons and keep on watching the videos and liking them and doing all that stuff. And because you all watch, it's why we get to get cool guests. The guests don't come on because they think we're cool. They come on because, like, we look legitimate because you all watch. So thank you all very much for that. It's why Wendell still puts up with my shit and deals with us and all that fun. So if we get to meet you next week, I really look forward to it. If we don't get to meet you next week, maybe when Wendell and Bryce finally do a damn party in Florida, then we can all hang out. But all that's my soapbox for the night. John and I are about to podcast about our second favorite movies of all time, which is absolutely insane. Episode number 99 of that series is about to happen.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm feeling really good, because after next Thursday, I'm going to be done with the movie special series, like the one that we're doing now, and this season. And that is going to be a monster part of things that I do in a week in an instant. And it's going to be such a bizarre feeling. So
yeah, having Wednesdays free is always very jarring after a season.
Yes.
Phil, that was a beautiful close out. Become a patron, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And Phil and I both really like margaritas. If anyone wants to buy us a drink next week, we'll see y'all.
Can't wait to be throwing off tequila on the plane home. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.